You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, pray that you'd bless this time, that you would lead us to walk in your Spirit, to walk in the freedom and the life and the joy and the peace of Christ, that we might bear the fruit of the Spirit, and that might flow down to our kids. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. I'd like to start off and draw attention to my coffee mug. Didn't realize this. It says, best dad ever. I know, really, pressure's on. I did not realize that I had this mug until I got here. And I was like, man, talk about like the mug to teach faith and family. So, guys, I just want to let you know, you're all playing for second. Okay, you're all playing for second. Okay, so we're doing a series, plenty of seats. We're doing a series about freedom from the tyranny of hurrying and busyness. And, you know, last week we just kind of did a kind of an intro overview and talked about how, you know, kind of hurried our families are. It feels like a pretty common sense or descriptor of family life is like you're trying to get out the door to get kids to school or to daycare, and you're like, all right, everybody go, get in the car. Or, you know, like it's the power hour, it's bath time and lotions and jammies and dessert and then your anti-allergy medicine and the whole shebang. And it's like, oh, just come on, you know, let's just go, you know. And so, you've got more activities on your plate, on your family's plate in an afternoon than the federal government. And it's like you're driving from here to there, and kind of, you know, we got 1.2 minutes to make it to ballet because we got 3.7 seconds to make it to baseball and whatever. So anyhow, so that being said, hurrying busyness seems to be pretty definitive in the lives of modern families. And so this is a 5-week series about hurrying and busyness. And so one of the things I said last week is this conversation about hurrying and busyness is partially about how we do it and partially about what we do. And we've also talked about how, in some ways this is directed towards us as individuals in our kind of hurried lives, because the fish rots from the top. Everything kind of up at the top of parents flows down to the kids. And some of it is about kids. And we talked about David Elkin, who's a scholar on the lives of modern kids, and his book about the lives of modern kids is called The Hurried Child. That's how he describes the lives of kids, the hurried child. And so the good news is that Christ sets us free from having to hurry. And so, yeah, and we talked about the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and how I think it was Dallas Willard said the greatest danger to the modern Christian is hurrying. And he said, you know, the answer is to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And so anyhow, so that's just a little bit of a review. Man, it's a little bit hot in here. Am I the only one that's hot? Must be my menopause probably. So questions to start out with. If you don't have a little handy dandy worksheet, are there any extras?
Yeah, the chair.
There's some extras over there. So you're going to want to get one. Questions for today are, you know, is hurrying of the spirit or of the flesh? Okay, we'll talk about what we mean by the spirit and the flesh. Am I in this moment hurrying? Is this of the spirit? What aspects of the flesh drive hurrying? Okay, so the big idea, here's the hope of this, of today's session, is using hurrying as an indicator of when we are walking in the flesh. It's kind of like a diagnostic of like, oh, I'm hurrying, what's going on in my heart? And so the big idea is when we hurry, we are operating with a sense of fear and threat. Fear is not of the spirit. Therefore, hurrying is out of the flesh, not the spirit. The Lord really has done a work on my life on this area, still growing, daily struggle, But the verse that I kept on going back to was, we have not been given a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. We've been given a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. So I have kind of found that when I am hurrying, I am operating out of fear. When I am hurrying, I'm operating with a sense of threat. And if I am operating out of fear or threat, that means I am in the flesh. I'm not in the spirit. The flesh, the spirit of slavery, fall back into fear. The flesh is defined by fear. Walking in the spirit under the grace of God is defined by walking in the security and the peace of the perfect love of God the Father through Jesus Christ. And so that's what the that's what it looks like to walk in the spirit. And so so we're going to talk about look at Romans 8. And look at how it is that fear coupled with performance and fear of judgment, how it drives the flesh, and how it is that the love of God fuels life in the spirit. But I want to talk about this key diagnostic. This is a great little counseling tool here. Notice no need. Notice no need. And so when we talk about hurrying, you know, this can be a physical thing. This can be something that's kind of a relational or social thing. This can be an emotional thing. And so what I mean by that is sometimes we are physically hurrying. Like I would say that a mark of that for me historically has been trying to walk really fast, just always like going. And in fact, I even used to literally run through the halls of the church from meeting to meeting. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that, but like truth is truth. Facts are facts. Or the way we drive, the way we're kind of going throughout the house, like we can physically be hurrying. But there's also this kind of like emotional, internal hurrying. An example of that is like, you know, you're unloading the dishwasher, and like, look, you can only unload the dishwasher so fast. Like you're dealing with pottery, you're dealing with glass, you know, like you can't with the dishes. All right. So there is a natural governor on how fast you can unload the dishwasher. But in your heart, it's like, come on, let's get it done. Maybe this is just me. Maybe this lesson is just for me. We should put up a mirror. But, you know, anyhow. Or, get ready, everyone's going to be guilty on this one. Hurried in a conversation. Someone's talking to you, and you have got things to do. You got things to do. You got places to be. You got, there's the clock. It's a ticking. And the person is just a talking and a talking and a talking. And you in your heart are like, just let's get out of this conversation. Let's get out. You know, and that's a hurried heart, right? Hurried heart. So the diagnostic starts with notice. Like notice in your emotions, notice in your body, notice in your movements. Notice in the way you're talking, notice in the way that you're relating to a person, notice that you have a hurried heart, that you're in a hurried state, which is an indicator that we're in the flesh. Second, no. No is, why am I hurrying? Like, what am I afraid of? What's driving this? Know what is going on, and then need, and by the way, I think the key questions are, what am I afraid of? And why do I feel threatened? That's what drives hurrying. There's some sense of threat, some sense of fear. Like, I'm afraid that I'm going to disappoint someone. I'm afraid that I'm not going to get my work done, or I'm not going to get it done with excellence. I am worried that I'm going to shortchange my kids. I'm afraid that my passive-aggressive family member, when I get there 2 minutes late, is going to look at their clock and shame me. You know, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? What is the sense of threat? And then need, what do I need to remember? What do I need to do in order to walk in peace, walk calmly? Do I need to literally just, this is for me, literally start walking more slowly and remembering that Jesus has defeated sin, death, and the devil. He's on his throne, and I'm just not that important. he doesn't need me. do I need to remember, what is it I need to remember about the gospel that slows me down and orders me to walk in peace and security? And so we're now going to move to Romans 8 on page 1. And on page 1, we're on page 1. And just to be clear on what we're talking about with the spirit versus the flesh. because this is terminology that's used often, but sometimes not defined very well. And so in one sense, when we talk about the spirit versus the flesh, we're talking at a big picture level, that the flesh is like, before you were a believer, you live in the flesh. Like it is like a spiritual realm in which you live. When you put your faith in Christ, you are transferred into the kingdom of God's Son. That's Colossians chapter 1. For he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. It's 1:15, 13, 17, can't remember. Anyhow, but that's on one level. And then on another level, so that's like the spiritual place where you live. If you believe in Christ, you spiritually reside in the Spirit, in the new creation, in the kingdom of God. All right, but then there's also talking about the Spirit at the individual level. Of like, in this moment, the way that I am living, am I living as if I am in the flesh, as if Jesus never came? Or am I living as if, hey, God's love is upon me, the Holy Spirit is with me, Jesus is on his throne? And so it's that's at the individual level. It's like a mode. It's like a mode of living. And so, yeah, Romans 8:15, we've already talked about this, but for you did not receive slavery, a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So notice the default mode of the flesh is to walk in fear. And so hurrying involves fear and threat, just like the flesh. So hurrying is of the flesh. There's a little logical progression there. The gospel gives us freedom from fear, enables us to move peacefully. There's someone sent me a great video last week after this class, and it's a Marine mantra, which is, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. What I have found is the more I slow down, I'm actually more productive. More productive because I'm usually doing the things that are most important. I'm less, when I'm not so frenetic, I'm less prone to go look at recruiting video on YouTube. And kind of resist. I'm just able to just kind of slowly and methodically go through my work. There's an ancient Chinese philosopher, Lao Tzu, who said, nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished. That was pretty good. So we have this dichotomy of the spirit and the flesh. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. He is in the spirit. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So the flesh is like the old way of our life, pre-Christ, pre-gospel, and the spirit is the new way that we have the freedom to walk in through the help of the Holy Spirit. So next it says, but I say walk by the Spirit. This is from Galatians 5. I say walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep from doing the things you want to do. So that this is just a recognition there's a battle. You know, we feel this tension. Like we feel that tension of I'm in the conversation and the person just keeps on talking and I really need to get out of the conversation. And there's a battle inside of like, oh, I want this to end. And this is where God has put me in this moment. I need to be present. I need to listen to this person. I need to be the light of Christ and dignify their humanity as someone made in the image of God. That battle is raging inside. And that's the battle of the spirit of the flesh. Because we do have the Spirit of God in us, but we also still have a body, which binds us to the present evil age, which binds us to sin. We still have a sin nature, even though the nature and will of Christ dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. So that's why there's that, it's like there are two people inside of us. That's kind of because there are. One person is God, and the other person is our sinful flesh. So that's just setting the stage here for Romans 8. And we're going to go by this in four sections, and I think this is going to be helpful. So let's start here, and obviously it's a total disservice and injustice to try to do Romans 8 in 20 minutes, but that's what we're going to try to do. First, there is therefore now, and by the way, let's just think about this through the lens of walking in the flesh and hurrying. Okay, that's not exclusively what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about hurrying. But it is an aspect of the flesh, so it is legitimate to think about it in those terms. So first, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All right, so I think a lot of times when we're hurrying, we often are living in performance mode. We're living in a performance mode where we feel like we got to get so much done, or we've got to be so excellent, we've got to be so productive, we got to please everybody. And so a lot of times that is what is driving us when we're hurrying. And that is the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is like the old system that we live in under the flesh. And it is this nexus of performance and fear of judgment and self-evaluation and exertion. And that's the nature of the flesh. So, you know, another way to say is you're walking under the law. And the end of the law of sin and death is the fear of judgment, fear of rejection, fear of disapproval. And so the first verse here says, therefore now there's no condemnation for those in Christ. So Jesus has, in the ultimate sense, has wiped away any fear of rejection, disapproval, judgment. The ultimate fear of rejection and judgment that we're worried about is that of God. And Jesus has eliminated. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Why? It's because God has done in the flesh what we can't do. Jesus has lived the perfect life for us. And he's absorbed any judgment, any rejection that we might receive from God, he's absorbed it on the cross. So now we're free. That's why we're free from living under the law of sin and flesh. That's why we're free from performance mode. Now that doesn't mean I'm not saying like we're freed from doing a good job in our work or, you know, being responsible. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about our state of heart. You know, the hope of the gospel is that we can do the things that we're supposed to do faithfully, but we can do it from a place of security, peace, and calm. And to work and not grow weary. And so with that being said, please don't hear me as saying like slack off. Like that's not faithful. That's not godly. But what we are saying is that you can do your best calmly and without hurrying. All right, so next. And by the way, I don't know about you guys, but I find for myself when I'm hurrying, I am usually worried about disappointing somebody. I'm worried about not getting things done for this person, or someone's waiting on me for an approval on something or whatever it is, or I'm going to be late. I've stunningly been more on time now that I've slowed down, because I know I'm going to drive slow, so I've got a lot more time. And it turns out you actually don't gain that much time by driving fast. But I'm usually worried about disappointing people when I'm in a hurry. That's usually what's going on. All right, next. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. That's spiritual, emotional, social death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. That sounds good. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And it does. So, it's interesting. He says, you are not, he's kind of talks about this like vacillation between being in the flesh and the Spirit. But then he also says, but you're in the Spirit, you're not in the flesh. And so what he's operating at this level, he's saying, spiritually speaking, you reside and are located in the Spirit. You reside in the kingdom of God. That's where you are. But we forget that. We forget that, you know? And so when we have a mind of the flesh, we are operating as if Jesus never did anything. Jesus never came into the world. We're all on our own. We've got to earn our salvation. We've got to measure up, and it's got to be on our performance, and there is no hope of grace or mercy. That is the mind of the flesh. And boy, let me just tell you, that is death. You know? But when we find ourselves hurrying, I know this is true for me, it is like everything that Jesus did has been flushed down the toilet. It's as if it had never happened, right? That's the mind of the flesh. And so the mind of the Spirit, this life and peace, is when we notice, when you start to notice that you're in a hurry, start to notice that you're pushing, to be like, huh, what part of the gospel am I forgetting? Like, what am I forgetting about the gospel? And to remind yourself, with the help of the Holy Spirit has to help us in this, but with the help of the Spirit, be like, you know what? Like, I've been made righteous. I've been justified. Like, I'm secure in the love of God. Jesus is on his throne. Like, he is making all things new. I am not making all things new. The Holy Spirit is at work. God's getting the job done. He does not need me. That is the mind of the Spirit. And that leads to life and peace, as he says. And so again, I just kind of want to reinforce this point of notice no need. Notice you're hurrying, good indicator that you're in the flesh. No, what do I need to, why? Why is it? Why am I, what am I worried about? What I feel threatened by? And then no, what do I need to remember about what Jesus has done and the reality of Christ's lordship that enables me to walk in life and peace? Enables me to slow down. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He's talking about the resurrection of the body at the second coming of Christ when he's talking about your life to your mortal bodies. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So a couple things here. You can see he's gone from the mind to the way we live. The mind of the Spirit, the mind of the flesh is X, Y, and Z. Now he says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You know, the actions are driven by what we're believing in our mind and our heart. And so it starts by remembering the gospel, and then that translates down into how we're living. I would say one little point in this that I would bring up is I also think a part of what drives our hurried lives is this sense of FOMO and YOLO. You know, the mentality of like, you only live once, and we just got to pack it all in, got to do everything, you know. And, you know, the promise of heaven, promise of the new heavens and new earth, that really frees us from that. You don't only live once. You know, you live for eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. You know, you're only going to be here for who knows how long, but probably less than 100 years. Although we did have a woman die at age 104 in the church last month. Pretty amazing. We have some women who've gone the distance in this church. We've had two surpass 100 in the last couple of years. But, you know, but you have eternity, you know, and so this need to like pack it all in and like YOLO and fear of missing out on all that, like, sure, we want to be good stewards of our lives. And it's like, no, you're actually going to inherit the whole earth with Christ. And so we can kind of die to the YOLO FOMO mentality. One other point in that, my bad. Is that you can see, he says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So a couple of things to recognize there is we can't just kind of get out of the flesh out of our own effort. Like, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. It's the Spirit that helps us. And we have. We have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in our heart. So you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart to turn off the speed and move more slowly. But notice too, he says, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. So it starts with repentance, or like naming like what's the sin going on here? What's the idolatry going on here? What's the fear? What's the sense of threat that I'm living in? And so it's naming that and repenting from that and then moving to the gospel. Seems like the logical sequence that Paul is pointing out here. Last thing, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back in fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Here you go. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You can see here that the antithesis of fear is the love of God the Father. Like, the love of God the Father, love of God the Father is what sets us free, is what sets us free from operating in the flesh, operating out of fear, operating in a mode of hurry. Sorry, I don't have this in here, but 1 John 3:1 says, oh, no, that's not it. It's the one. Perfect love casts out fear. Yeah, and in 1 John, it talks about how perfect love casts out fear. For fear involves a fear of punishment or judgment. And so, you know, the ultimate, the solution is not just to say, like, I need to slow down. The solution is to say, I am perfectly loved. I'm perfectly loved by God the Father. Unconditionally. No strings attached, no disappointment, no smirks, no crossing of the hands, no, can you get your act together? Perfectly loved by God the Father. Because through our justification, God loves us in the same way that he loves his son. The perfect life of Jesus is assigned to us by grace through faith. And so the approval that God the Father would have as if you lived a perfect life, you have, because Jesus lived a perfect life for you. So you have the perfect love of God the Father. So that's what ultimately slows us down, is with the help of the Spirit and repentance, landing under the perfect love of God the Father. That is the salve to this kind of hurried heart, hurried action, hurried life. And so, So with that being said, I've been hating on poor old John Mark Comer, who wrote The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry a little much. If anyone was in here at the other service, you heard me hating on his book. Anonymously, I didn't throw him under the shade in the sermon. I'll just do it at Sunday school. No, so holy. Anyhow, but yeah, this is where I think the next step the book needed to take was take it here to the heart level of what drives the hurrying. And what drives the hurrying is fear and threat. And what relieves us from that is the perfect love of God the Father and the fact that we've been made righteous, perfectly righteous, through the blood of Christ. So that's kind of all I have. And so, yeah, just to finish it up, notice no need. Notice when you're hurrying. This has been so helpful for me. So helpful for me to be like, oh, look at the way I'm walking. Oh, look at the way I'm driving. Oh, look at the way that I'm regarding this person. I'm not in the Spirit right now. And it's like the Holy Spirit prompting. It's a lens to think about the flesh that's very visceral, and that's very practical, and that's very real in our lives. So I think it'd be helpful. Anybody have any comments, questions, feedback, disagreements, correction of heresy? And I will pull up my world's best dad mug as I drink. Yes.
Okay, so I'm super convicted by this. So this is a struggle here. Help me know with, like, some of our hurrying is just getting to school.
Yeah.
And am I living out of the fear of my children? I mean, well, the perfect attendance and targets is, like, way out the window. Behind.
Yeah, you've already gotten the scary letter from the state of Alabama. Yeah, I know. We've got about four of those this year. Yeah, there are practical. Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, totally.
I feel like that's a Christian.
No doubt.
Morality also.
No question about it. Yeah. I mean, in our culture, being late is really rude and disrespectful. Like, what you're communicating to a person is, my time is more important than your time. And that's not loving. That's not godly. I think this is more a question of, this is not saying be late. This is saying the way we move forward, try to do it peacefully and slowly. I think that what I've found And, you know, everyone struggles with the get out the door for school thing, right? It's probably the most stressful, stressful part of our lives in a lot of ways. But what I have found is when I am hurrying my kids, they're not moving faster. They're not moving faster. And in fact, I am usually creating problems because I am being a pill and I'm being critical and I'm noticing everything they do wrong and I'm being harsh. And that does not tend to win compliance. And so I think kind of like the Marine mantra, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. I think that actually when in our heart we're calm and moving more slowly, we actually are probably more efficient at getting out the door. That's what I've found to be my experience. I think this is a, I think that what, when we, especially around town, when we drive fast, it is to create a perceived sense of control that is not real. Because statistically, driving fast in town doesn't actually get you anywhere faster. It's to create a perceived sense of control because I feel out of control. So I think this is a mode more than it is like not. We got to get out the door. You know, like we can't get 100 tardies. Yep.
I'd say I did read the book, and I one thing that was helpful for me was just that openness, open arms. Like he talks practical ways of just like starting your morning without your phone or distraction.
Yeah, right.
And just being open in that pain sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like sitting in that pain.
Yeah.
Is a lot of times I think why I hurry is, you know, numbness, don't want to sit in like the openness.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's really helpful that he talks about, you know, and you know, just feeling the presence of the Lord.
Totally. No, I think the book is good. I think it's totally worth a read. I'm sorry. I know I've kind of been throwing shade, but it really is very good. Yeah, and I think you're right. I think there's a term in sales called never confuse activity and productivity. You know, it's like a lot of times we're, you know, just doing stuff, but it's not actually stuff that's constructive to get sales. And so yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty relevant to this conversation because when we slow down, we're just a lot more clear on this is what I actually need to do. This is actually what's most important. And a lot of the clutter goes away. Yes, sir?
All right, so the slowest, smooth is fast.
Yeah.
So Marines move faster.
He's, by the way, United States Marine Corps right here.
But I do think that saying, and I didn't send it to you, but I do think that saying, to think about the context that it's used, typically it's used not in an environment where you're like, you know, they wake you up and you got to run out the door and all that. It's used in environments where you're doing things that are complex, difficult, and sometimes there's a little bit of a degree of fear. That's when it's used.
Huh.
Like, hey, like difficult obstacle courses, that sort of thing. Hey, slow down, do the technique, one step up, just do it the right way.
Right.
And then slow down and you're going to be faster. I mean, that's the, so mm-hmm. I think that's a good kind of paradigm for.
That's good.
What we're talking about is when it's bad, scary, difficult, and it's time to sort of calm your mind down. And that's when you kind of use that.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to be funny here. Getting your kids out the door is complex. I mean, it's like, okay, we got to have the homework in the backpack. Do we have the water bottle? Do we have the note for the teacher? Do you have your art project? Have you brushed your teeth? Have you gone to the bathroom? Do you have your jacket? You know, get on your seatbelts. Quit hitting your brother. Like there really are 25 factors and variables flying in a 10-minute span. Slow is smooth is fast. I think we're out of time. Sorry, this is so fun. Next week we're gonna talk a little more about busyness and getting overextended, and I think it's going to be pretty helpful. So that's going to be about what we do. Here, I'll say a quick prayer. Jesus, help us to walk out of the love of God the Father through the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.